And not only do I hear the noise associated with the drill, I sense that sort of cold air associated with the drill. Hooman Golestani, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. Pleasure to be here.
Lovely to have you here.
Thank you.
We're going to get less and less of the drill, aren't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The use of the drill nowadays is literally, I use it to replace the old stuff. I rarely ever cut any new teeth with that stuff, so... Yeah, hopefully
Why?
We'll hear less and less of it.
Why is it disappearing and what's it being replaced
well,
with?
Well, that's a great question, and this is a topic that's rather controversial, so I'll make it very quick. And from my experience, is simply the fact that we've had fluoride in the waters in Perth for the last 30 or 40 years has certainly improved the amount of it's reduced the amount of dental decay in children's teeth. So nowadays we're seeing kids coming to the office with very few, if any, dental decay at all.
Is that right?
It is absolutely right.
And we as parents, thank you, my children, for providing the opposite, but we as parents assume that it's going to be a life filled with fillings because of that kind of decay.
That's correct. And in the past generations, that's exactly what it's been. The baby boomers nowadays, in fact, are the ones that we're treating quite extensively because they didn't have the luxury of the fluoride in the waters. And so they lost teeth when they were younger. They had big holes, big cavities, a lot of amalgam fillings, which are antiquated and out of date. So now we're going to have to replace them with the beautiful ceramics and some of the resins that we're working on nowadays.
Well, I want to talk to you about the future of dentistry today, and we'd like to take some calls as well. They will be of a general nature, I think, folks. 1-300-222-720. If Dr. Hooman Golestani can assist you or maybe even encourage you to go to the dentist, that could be a good thing. But take the opportunity to give us a call now. When we talk about the future of dentistry, what will the experience be like, do you think, in 2, 5, or 10 years?
Well, I don't think it'll be that much different to what it is today, other than the fact that we're certainly blessed with better technology, better materials. For example, in my office, I can do a ceramic filling, which I can scan your tooth with a camera. I can create a finished product on the screen and send it off to the mill and have a block of ceramic milled into the shape of your tooth, and I can stick it into your tooth and pretty much say that it'll be there for the next 12 to 15 years without any problems, all that in 90 minutes. So
okay. So the technology is outstandingly good. Are we less frightened than we used to be?
I think so. I know some of, as I said earlier, the baby boomers who had the misfortune of having a lot of bad dentistry, or no dentistry for that matter, will probably think otherwise. However, the younger generation will come into my office willingly, gladly, 2-3 times a year for their regular hygiene appointments. And if they need any treatment, they just close their eyes. It's pain-free.
Do you have a television on the ceiling?
I used to, and I chose in my new office not to put that in there because it distracted my nurse.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got to tell you where I go and get my teeth done, and it's a lovely experience. They always have Channel 10 mid-afternoon programs like Ready, Steady, Cook, and I find it distracting, but it's very poor television.
I used to always have the ABC on, but now I listen to ABC Radio in the background.
Hey, pop your headphones on. And we'll just take a call from Paul first, 1-300-222-720. If there's a question you'd like to put to, we'll call you Dr. Hooman.
That'll be great.
About dental matters, let's hear from you. Paul, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you going?
Good, thanks. What's your question or observation, Paul?
I'm actually a dental technician, and what we find now is a lot of dentists sending crown and bridge work and everything overseas. It's very poor quality, and the only benefit to anyone is the dentist, because they just put the money. They might be $40 for a crown instead of getting it done properly here, and the dentist just pockets the the excess money that they get. I was wondering if that is the future of dentistry in WA.
Dr. Hooman, yeah.
Paul, thank you for calling. Thank you for asking that, and I totally, totally agree. I hope to God it isn't the future of dentistry in Western Australia. I use a local lab. I have been for probably the last 12 or 15 years. I have a personal relationship with him. I can send my patients down there. He comes to my office if I have any, particularly the cosmetic work that I do in my office, which is rather extensive. I would hope to God that that would end. I can tell you a story of a patient who came into my office several months ago, and she had a problem that just wouldn't go away, and we couldn't work out why she was so ill. Eventually, we honed it down to a crown that she had done which had been sent to China, and when we took the crown off and had it tested, it actually tested positive for cadmium, which is poisonous. Now, I can tell you right now that if that was one of my patients and I'd done that, I don't know if I could sleep well at night. So I would hope to God that isn't the future of dentistry, and I think some regulations would have to be strengthened up for that to go away.
Paul, are you rather worried about your future as a dental technician?
I can see it going more and more that way. We actually had a dentist that told a client that we did a job for them when it was actually sent to a really poor, low-quality lab or overseas, and he said that we did the job. And, you know, so they're just lying to patients to keep faith, and it's totally wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, and very frustrating for you, Paul. Thank you for calling. Brian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Jeff.
You're talking to Herman, Dr. Herman. How can he help you?
Hi, Herman. My question is about lower dentures. I've been needing a lower denture for a long time and have tried them in the past, but had a problem where a lower denture was secured by metal rings which locked around teeth on both sides of the lower gum. And wore the teeth away so that I no longer have the teeth they used to lock onto. Is there a more up-to-date version of the lower denture available now?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. In our office, we love the idea of using implants, dental implants, and particularly the system that we're using, which is very, very, if you want to call it cutting edge, is the all-on-fours implants, where we're placing four implants to replace all of the teeth. All of your teeth will then be set on a bridge on those four implants. It happens within 24 to 72 hours, start to finish. You know, dentures, in my opinion, are a thing of the past.
They
really should be a thing of the past. We use them in our office as a transient thing. Certainly, there is a cost benefit for wearing dentures, and if you wear them for a short period of time, you know, that's perfectly fine. And particularly in cases where you need other teeth to hold them in place, there is that added disadvantage that they may, too, be involved. So, yes, there are other options. You should certainly seek out dental implants to replace the missing teeth. They do cost a little bit more, but just like anything, if you have them done professionally and in the hands of a good dentist, they are extremely valuable for money.
And lots of people want to speak to you, lots of questions via the text, but Mr. Burnett, the dentist will see you now. Jamie, when was the last time that you went to the dentist?
10 years ago, Jeff. I'm a little nervous about this now. It was all fun when we were talking about it in the studio.
Please, Dr. Herman, his mouth is all yours.
Just open up.
Big R. Very good. Hey, look at that. See, this is a perfect example of someone who has been under the care of a dentist, a really good dentist, when you were younger, obviously. You had a lot of fluoride treatment. You can tell you've got no fillings on those teeth that I can see from here.
No fillings.
Obviously, I need to have a closer look with some radiographs and with some of my high-tech equipment to have a look really close. But from what I'm seeing there, that's a perfect example of what happens when someone's had good dental care as a child. Now, I have to say that, unfortunately, these things will accumulate, and Jamie will in the next 10 or 15 years potentially have problems which could be averted if he were to see a dentist.
Well, they'd be really bad. Tell the rest of us about them.
Well, you know, we often have patients coming in of Jamie's vintage who will come in who have really good teeth, and then one tooth has been completely and utterly decayed right down to the core, which has to be replaced. And it's a sad indictment on the fact that we do tend to become a little bit overconfident and thinking that there's nothing wrong until something happens, and then we need somebody on emergency, and of course, by that stage, it's too late.
You're quite reassured, though, aren't you?
I am. I feel like I've dodged the bullet a little bit, but I shouldn't push my luck too far.
The bullet's coming back, though. You better, hurry up and dodge it.
Now, this is something I want to ask you about because, again, the dentist I go to, you know, I've got a mouthful of unusual teeth filled with unusual things.
Yes.
And you can sense that, can't you? And he said to me, do you get grinding headaches? And I go, no, not yet. I haven't got your bill yet. And he said, well, have you thought about crowns? And I kind of go, no. I mean, I am one of those people who is biding my time, hoping for the best, knowing that at some point I might have to have certain things done. And that's because I'm frightened of the cost.
Okay. You know, and that is the number one thing that I hear about. And if you look at anything, I always say if you compare dentistry to, for example, Formula One racing.
Which is hard to do.
Okay, right? Well, think about it. If you think about Formula One racing, you know that all of the innovations in motor, in any sort of motor technology has come primarily from racing. You get, you know, your anti-locking brakes, you got your airbags, all these sorts of things come from racing. Well, that eventually trickles down, and, you know, you can get, you buy a little $20,000 car right now, which will have the same technology that Formula One racing had in, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So dentistry is not that different. You know, we are at the forefront of dental technology. For example, in our office, we're working with things that are futuristic. Now, in about 10 or 20 years, that stuff will trickle down to, you know, the average dentist down the road. Now, does that mean that we should avoid doing them because they're expensive? Of course not. We have to always be searching for bigger and better things so that eventually it will trickle down to the average person and the average care. Now, if you need specialist care, well, yes, it's going to cost more, of course, and you do get value for money if you are in the right hands. Now, I hear all the time people saying, oh, it's expensive, you know, I'm going to go to Thailand, I'm going to go to Bali. Well, that's a commercial decision that everyone will have to make. You know, I wish them well. But if you can't drink the tap water in that town, I'll tell you what, I would be very, very nervous about having their dentistry.
This is Neil. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. What's your question?
Quick question about gum disease. And, look, I had very weak teeth. I grew up on a farm, so we drank rainwater mostly, no fluoride at all. And I've got a mouth full of fillings and a few crowns now. But I've just noticed recently that I did have a crown put on, but my gum has receded away from the crown, so there's a bit of a gap now between the tooth and the gum and the crown. But is there anything or a treatment that works on the gums as well as the teeth?
Okay, Neil, that's a fantastic question. You know, we see this every day in our office. Gum disease is literally the infection of the gum. It's a localized infection of the gum causing the bone and the gums to shrink away from the margin where they used to be. Now, that's one of the things about the future of dentistry is the idea of teamsmanship. And we do have a situation in our office, for example, where if we have something like that, we do have a hygienist that works on what is generalized gum disease, but we do have a periodontist that we refer to. And periodontists are specialists in gums, and they do some marvelous work. I would always consider the idea of referring anyone who has what they feel as being gum disease to a periodontist, as I would if I had, for example, someone needed a root canal, send them to an endodontist. And that team approach is fantastic. But to answer your question, the reality of it is once gum disease starts, you can halt it, but you can never, ever get the gums to grow back. That's sad. Now, in the future, with stem cell research, mm-hmm. you know, we certainly are looking forward to being able to grow gums and bone back. But in the meanwhile, I would strongly suggest you see a dentist who has a team approach, will refer you to a periodontist, and make sure that your treatment is carried out as best as can be.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Neil, thank Pleasure. You. This is Teresa. Good morning.
Good morning. My query is, we're in Baldivis, and we're on rainwater only with two kids with no fluoride. What should we be doing?
Okay. Now, again, this is a very controversial issue. You know, you could certainly consider the idea of taking fluoride tablets that they used to do in the past. I think that's probably just a little bit over the top. I certainly think if you're using a good fluoride toothpaste and you are dousing your teeth with a reasonable amount of fluoride, and before I go into too detail, I want to make sure that you don't overdo it, because fluoride, in fact, is a toxic product, and you should never ingest far too much of it because it will, in fact, cause other problems, and that's what a lot of the anti-fluoride people are leaning on. However, the idea of using a fluoride toothpaste, seeing a dentist regularly, having fluoride treatments, which are not ingested, which are topical, you know, those things will certainly help. The idea of rainwater, well, I mean, it's fantastic. I love rainwater. It's just that it doesn't have fluoride in it.
Okay, so if kids are cleaning their teeth with a fluoride, with a toothpaste with fluoride in it, that's probably okay?
That certainly helps, no question. There are fluoride rinses that you can also purchase, which you can rinse your mouth with, and they are perfectly fine.
Teresa, thank you very much. Max wants to take us back to some earlier days of dentistry. Hello, Max.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning, Herman.
Hello, Jeff.
Just wanted to say firstly that I'm currently under a dentist who I think to be one of the best dentists in Perth.
Wonderful. That's great.
And I've been attending dentists now for over 60 years. The first dentist I had was in the hallway at my local school, and he decided I needed some drilling done to get rid of some infection in my teeth. Some of my teeth weren't too good, and they haven't been for many years. So he got his machine all organised, and he pedalled to drill into my teeth. And the faster he pedalled, the more I appreciated it, the slower he pedalled, the bigger the problem.
Max, thank you. Max isn't the only one that remembers the pedal power experience. Jeff, my husband at 91 remembers the drill being used where the dentist had to use the pedal to create the drill speed, and always preferred a morning visit as the dentist tired by the afternoon.
No comment.
What are we most likely to go and see you for as we get older?
Okay. We are going through a little bit of a shift because the generation that are now starting to get older and requiring a lot of the treatment, the baby boomers, are going to require probably a little bit more intensive treatment. As I said, ceramic fillings, which we use in our office, that has replaced gold. We barely ever do any crowns, frankly. We just use the CAD-CAM ceramics. That's something that I'm using regularly. Of course, where there's the teeth that are missing, dental implants, titanium dental implants, are a revolution in dentistry. We are replacing some amazing missing teeth, amazingly, I should say, for people that now can chew and smile. You know, at the end of the day, you want your confidence. You want to be able to smile. You know, we have a patient who has never had an international trip. We did some dental implants for him. He's got his smile back, and he said, "I would never have traveled overseas with a denture." And I would have, you know, loved to have helped him years before that to hopefully save his teeth. But, you know, more and more, I'm going to see less and less dentistry done. So
that's interesting. This is Ian. Good morning, Ian.
Morning, Jeff. Good morning, Dr. Herman.
How are you?
My question concerns expensive dentistry gone wrong within a year of it being done, namely a crown snapping off.
Mm-hmm.
Is this sort of thing covered by any kind of warranty? Have I got any sort of redress at all?
That's a really tricky question to answer. You know, okay, so if I were to be doing that in my office and I would do, I mean, let's not even talk about dentistry. Let's talk about if you had a carpenter do something for you and within a year it broke off, you know, you'd go back to them and you would hope that you'd be able to negotiate some sort of a replacement or something of that nature, which would be, based on the idea that perhaps some things can happen that are, you're unaware of things that could happen. Mm-hmm. Dentistry is not that different. We take as many chances as we can to reduce risk. But sometimes, you know, there are things that will happen that are outside of our awareness. Now, is it something that is it bad dentistry? Is it bad? It's hard.
Could I just butt in for a moment?
Sure, yeah.
You were talking earlier about overseas dental work, crowns, etc. I suspect I may have been a victim of one of these because this crown never felt right, you know, from the day it was put in.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the dentist and had him file a little bit off it, and that improved the bite slightly, but it just never felt good.
Right.
And one day I was just sitting chewing on something soft licorice, and I felt the thing wobble a bit, and before I knew it was in my mouth. So the dentist said that it was very unusual. The post had actually snapped. And he offered me a sort of a go at, putting it back again, and I didn't feel very confident. So he's basically just sealed the gum over.
You know, I always recommend that you negotiate with your dentist, and if you're not happy, you seek to get a second opinion. And that's the reality of it is. And in every industry, if you're not happy with what you are getting, you seek another opinion. I think dentistry is not that different.
Dr. Herman, thank you very much. I think even if people got nothing more out of this experience other than being told that there will be less dentist drills being used into the future, that will be of great relief. And I guess just finally, encourage people to just go and see a dentist. Don't be terrified.
Absolutely. Go see your dentist. Spend time with him 2 to 3 times a year easily to get your hygiene up to scratch. But certainly don't avoid the dentist, because the more you avoid them, the more painful they become.
Great to have you today. Could you just go out and tell Jamie a few terrible things about his mouth that will
definitely
just give us some degree of fun out of the experience? Thanks very much, Herman.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Herman Golestani.